Again, I appreciate the good songs and enjoyed them, and thankful for everybody that's here today, and want to ask an interest in your prayers. I want to share some scripture with you this morning from Romans chapter 9. If you have your Bibles with you and would care to turn and read along with me today, turn to Romans chapter 9. And I want to read through the first seven verses of that chapter for a scripture lesson today. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And that's reading, as I said, the first seven verses of Romans chapter 9 for a scripture reading. And I'd like to talk about, and this will be my title this morning, the effect of God's Word. The effect of God's Word. And in Romans chapter 9, verse 6, where I read today, the Apostle Paul wrote and said, not as though the Word of God hath taken none effect. And that's what I'd like to speak about for a little while, the effect of God's Word. I want you to think about the effect of God's Word on your own life. And the people that the Apostle Paul was writing to here, they were a very, well, as they have been called and were called by Stephen, they were called a stiff-necked people, an uncircumcised people. He said, you know, they were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in their heart and in their ears. And he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And they had, though they had great advantage, they also had a very difficult time, it seems, embracing the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe that Paul was saying in the ninth chapter of Romans in verse 6. And I believe that that verse, I believe, is very easy to discern. I believe that all he was saying there was that though this was true, and the Apostle Paul in this, he expresses something in the ninth chapter of Romans that you just really don't read about anywhere else in the Scriptures. The way I understand what he was saying, when he when this chapter opens up and Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. I'm telling you the truth. I'm saying something to you that's very truthful. I'm not lying. My conscience is even bearing me witness in this, that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. Paul had a great burden for these people. They were his kinsmen according to the flesh. And we find that also expressed in the 10th chapter of Romans as well. But he had a great burden for these people. He had a burden that had reached the point where he said that I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. What was he saying there? I believe that Paul's burden Now you may see this a different way, but I'm going to tell you what I believe he was saying there. I believe that he was saying that his burden had taken him to the point he had such a desire to see these people saved that if it would help them and if it were possible, he could wish that he himself would be removed from Christ for their sake. That's how heavy that his heart was for them. Of course, Paul couldn't do that, and we can't do that because Jesus paid the only price that's necessary in order for people to be saved. But that's how much that this was affecting him. And in verse 6, he was just saying that he was thankful, I believe, that what he was talking about here, about these people, having had all the advantages that they did and yet still being lost, he said, but it's not as if God's word has not had any effect at all, because they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And he was contrasting there spiritual Israel and natural Israel, national Israel. And he was saying that essentially what Paul was saying there was the word of God has not had any effect because some of them have been saved. But overall, as a whole, they had not been. They were a nation of religious people that were lost. They were a nation of religious people that really did not know the Lord. And the Apostle Paul perhaps understood this as well or better than anybody did in his day because he had been on both sides of that. He had one time, he was steeped in the same religion that they were. He was a Pharisee prior to his conversion. And then he had an experience in his life where he truly came to know the Lord. And so he had seen both sides of this, and he was very burdened that these people, these Jewish people, would have the same thing happen to them that had happened unto him. That they would, lay aside their Pharisaic practices and their Pharisaic beliefs and their Jewish beliefs and come to know the Lord as their Savior. And he was greatly, greatly burdened about that. And that had happened for some of them. He said that it didn't happen because they are the seed of Abraham. Now, they believe that that they had great advantage in that. In fact, I believe that the Pharisees honestly believe that because they were the seed of Abraham, that it would justify them before God. And if you remember when John the Baptist was preaching there at the Jordan and was baptizing at the Jordan, when those people came to him, he stepped on that right off the bat with them. He told them, he said, think not to say within yourselves that we have Abraham to our father. He said, God's able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And so being a natural descendant of Abraham would not justify them before God. And he said, he went on and he said, not as though, or neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And he wasn't talking about in that, he wasn't talking about the fact that they would be justified because they were descendants of Isaac either. He was talking about that seed. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the seed that he was having reference to. And friends, listen, there is plenty of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, there's enough salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ for all the world to be saved. But there's no salvation in anybody but him. There never was soul salvation in Abraham. There never was soul salvation in being an Israelite. The only way that anybody has ever been saved is by placing their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. And it's in that way that in Isaac that all people can be blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote here, And he said that it was these people that from whom Christ came according to the flesh. And he did. So, you know, I believe that it's sad when people, and when you think about this, when you think about how that the Apostle Paul really, he was talking about a nation here that for the most part, the bigger percentage of them did not embrace the Word of God. For the biggest percentage of them, God's Word did not have a positive effect upon them. It had affected some of them in a positive way, but most of them it had not. And so when you think about that, when you think about a nation of people that for the most part, the Word of God had not had a positive effect on them the way that it should have, does that ring any bells with you? Do we not live in a nation today that for the most part are not being affected by the Word of God the way that they should be? And not only that, and I want to talk about this today, and I don't intend to leave this off today, and I ask for your prayers today because I intend to try to preach the things that God placed upon my heart just as plainly as I can today. But I believe that among our churches today, that the Word of God is not having the effect upon us that it ought to have. And if it was having the effect upon us that it should have, then we would not be so head over heels crazy about some of the worldly things that we are. Now, you can like that or you can dislike it. I never ask you to like it, but I believe it's true. I believe if God's Word was affecting our lives the way that it should, that we would be living different lives than what we are. And I will talk about some of that as we go on. But I want you to think about this because I believe it's very sad. And I want you to know something. If you are here today in this service, I want you to know that you have a great blessing today. And you are enjoying a great privilege today, and you are enjoying a great advantage in your life today to be able to come someplace today and be in a place today where you can hear the truth of the Word of God. Listen, I believe that that's what preaching is about. I believe that's the importance of preaching. When the preacher stands up, it's not how eloquently that he can speak, or anything like that. The important thing is that the truth of God's Word goes forth. Amen. That's what's important about preaching, is that God's Word is being spoken. And, you know, it just saddens me when people have great opportunity, when people have great blessing upon them, a great privilege and great exposure to the truth of the Word of God, and yet they fail to embrace it, and it does not have the effect upon them that it ought to have. That is very, very sad in my heart. And that's the way that it was with these people that Paul was writing to here. We find in the third chapter of Romans, Paul says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? These people were when it come to the things of God, they had a great advantage. They had great exposure to the things of the Lord. In the 13th chapter of Acts, in verse 46, you'll find there in that 13th chapter of Acts, you'll find a time during the missionary work of the Apostle Paul when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas had been rejected by the Jews. Their preaching had been rejected by these people. And listen to what Paul said. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing that ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And they did. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. When a person has the advantage of hearing the word of God, has the great advantage of being exposed to the truth of God's word, I want you to know something. If you push it away from you and you reject it and you push God away, he'll take it to somebody else. He will take it to somebody else. Jesus even told his disciples, he said, when he sent them out two by two, when he sent the 70 out, he told them, he said, when you go into a city, he said, if they'll receive you, you stay with them. You go into the house with them. You take whatever they'll give to you. If they'll receive you, he said, if they won't receive you, you shake the dust off of your feet and you go somewhere else and you take it to somebody that will hear. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, the Hebrew writer tells us exactly what happened to these people. In Hebrews 4 and 2, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I want to ask you something today. I want to ask this question, and I want you to know that I'm asking this question to both those who are saved and those who are lost. I want you to really consider this thought with me here this morning. How is God's word affecting you? How is it affecting you? And I've already mentioned the church, and perhaps we'll speak a little bit more about that. But I want you to think also with me about, as an individual, how is God's word affecting your life? What do you do with it when you hear it? How would you define yourself? Are you one that of those that James spoke about that's just a hearer of the word? Do you listen to the word of God? And do you say, yes, that's true. I embrace that as the truth. And yet it has little or no effect upon your life. It has no, it's not applied to your everyday life. Is it something that you just hear and then suddenly dismiss it? Or are you one of those that he spoke about that's not only a hearer, but a doer of the word of God? Well, I'll leave that up to you to answer. I'll just put forth the question, and I'll leave it up to you to answer it. But I want to ask you this. I want to ask Fairview Memorial this today. I want to ask you this question in all honesty and in all sincerity today. Church, do you believe that God's word is affecting us in the manner that it should? I just want you to think about that for a moment. Is the truth of God's word affecting us as a church the way that it should be? Does a sermon about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ stir up your pure minds today? Well, it was intended to. That's exactly what the Apostle Peter wrote about when he wrote his second epistle. That was exactly his desire that when he brought to their remembrance the things concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it would stir up their pure minds when they thought upon those things. He wrote and said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So when the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached before you, how does it affect you? How does it affect us as a church? And I'm going to share something with you in a moment that will make you to see why that I'm asking that question. Listen, when you hear someone preach about the great separation that's going to take place one day between those that are saved and those that are lost, where we read about there in Matthew chapter 25, where the Lord talks about at the time of His coming that He's going to gather all nations before Him, and He's going to begin to divide them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He's going to set the goats on the left hand, the lost on the left hand, and the sheep or the saved on the right hand. Those that are saved are going off with Him to that place that's been prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Those that are lost are going to that place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, that place that burns with everlasting fire. But listen, when that's mentioned before you, when that's preached before you, how does that affect you? You just ask yourself that. Is it getting down in your heart? Is it getting in bed with you at night? When you think about, or does the reality of it even hit you? Does it even become any more than a Sunday morning sermon to you? Does it burden you? Does it tear you up inside when you think about the plight of those that are lost and what they're facing if they don't get right with the Lord? I remember a time in my childhood, and I thank God for it. I remember a time in my childhood, and I believe that, you know, I believe that churches sometimes, I believe there's a bit of a roller coaster effect at times in our churches. I believe we have those times when we're up where we ought to be, and then we have those times where we're not. But I remember some times in my childhood, perhaps some of you have experienced the same thing. I remember times when I was a lost young boy, and the men of God would get up and they would preach those things. They would preach about the Lord coming back one day and splitting the sky. And when He comes back, that it's too late for those that have not made their preparation. And He's going to destroy the world with fire and brimstone. And He's going to forever separate the saved from the lost. And those that are lost are going off into everlasting torment. And I'll tell you the truth, folks. I saw times when those types of things were preached and the church would get all sorts of tore up. I mean, the people of God, you'd see them, their countenance would change. They'd begin to weep and they'd begin to mourn. And the next thing you know, they were pleading with those that were lost to turn their hearts to the Lord and to seek after Him for the salvation of the soul. You know what I believe? I believe those sermons became reality to those people. I believe they saw their lost sons and their lost daughters and those lost people that were sitting among them. I believe they saw that. They had a vision of them perishing without the Lord. And it tore them up. And now, what have we got to? Well, we've come to the point where we can have people on the altar and we can't even all stay. We can't even all stay. We can't even tarry long enough. You know, oftentimes with people, even for the service, to reach a conclusion. I'm just telling you the facts. I'm just telling you the truth. I thank God for those people. I had people in my lost condition. They would come to me, and I mean, they would just be beside themselves. Just beside themselves. So concerned about my soul. I've had old sisters in the churches where I grew up come to me, and I'm Brother Strode, with God as my witness, I'm telling you the truth today. They would come to me, and I mean, tears just running down their face, and they'd come to me and they'd put their hand on my shoulder. Sometimes they'd lay their head on my shoulder and they'd be weeping on me and they'd be saying, son, don't you know that you need to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul? Don't you know that if you don't get saved that you're going to die lost and spend an eternity in hell? I mean, just tore all to pieces over my soul. And I'll tell you what, it had an effect upon me. It had an effect upon me like nothing else ever had. God's word, when it's believed by His people, I believe will have an effect upon the world around us. I surely do. I'm afraid that we have grown too cold and indifferent to the things of the Lord. And we need to pray that God would forgive us and that He would light a fire under us. That we get on fire for the Lord and that we get burdened for the lost. In 2 Chronicles 36, in verses 15 and 16, these same people that Paul wrote to in Romans years before this, God sent His word to them time after time after time, warning them. It says, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy. Let me ask you something. Do you think that you can sit and be exposed to the Word of God and take it or leave it without answering to God? Do you believe that you can do that? Well, I'll tell you what, if you do, you're wrong. God holds us responsible for what we hear. When God sends His Word to us, do you think that the pastor can stand before you and share with you the Scripture like I've tried to many times? Share with you the Scripture where the Bible tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and yet the next week just take off and do whatever you want to do on the Lord's Day and it not have any consequence at all. Folks, I'm telling you something. God does not work that way. We are responsible. When you hear God's word, you are responsible for what you will do with it. You're responsible for it. And I believe that's what was saying here, what was said here in 2 Chronicles 36. God said, I sent my word to those people, and they rejected it. They didn't embrace it. They didn't apply it. They didn't believe it. They didn't use it. And my wrath arose against them till there just wasn't any remedy for them. We're serving the same God that they served in the Old Testament. We're serving the same God. There's only been one true and living God, and He's the same today as He's always been. We can't do whatever we want to do with God's Word. And expect there to be no consequences for that. I'm telling you, folks, there will be. There will be. God will hold us responsible for how that we believe and how that we apply His Word. How does it affect you? If you're here today and you're lost, has the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, has it got you all torn up inside? I mean, has it just caused you to realize that you're lost and that you're separated from God? If it has, you better react properly to it. You better come to the Lord. You better come as the sinner that you are and you better come seeking Him. And for those of us, that are saved, if we know in our hearts that God's Word is not to us what it ought to be, then we need to repent before Him for that. And we need to ask God's forgiveness, and we need to ask God to get us in the shape that we need to be in. Because it ought to have an effect on all of us. It truly ought to have an effect on all of us. Those are the thoughts that the Lord placed upon my heart to share with you here today. And my prayer is that it will have its proper effect upon us as a people. And I would like for us at this time to have a verse or two of a song and to stand. And I'd just like to ask everybody to follow the Lord.